Well, we are in the beginnings of a new series that we're calling The Main Attraction. It's week two, and if you missed last week, we're talking about the book of Mark in this series, and last week was kind of an intro into the series, and so if you miss it, make sure to go to our podcast. You can also watch the replay on YouTube, and you can kind of have the foundation as we kind of enter into this series. Well, why are we calling it The Main Attraction? Well, Mark, when he wrote this letter, he wrote it in such a way that it highlights Jesus as the main attraction of this book. And one of the things that we mentioned last week is this is the shortest of all four Gospels. And some people think, well, it's because it's the most insignificant. Well, one scholar gave us some reasons as to why it might be so short, and I want to share it with you because I think it's helpful as we understand the narrative of Jesus in its entirety. One scholar said that oftentimes when a famous person dies, their story is written in three different phases. The first phase of the story is written, it's written with this focus. It's focused on what a person did. And when you think about that, it's like an obituary. It's just a short bullet points to the fact, here's what a person did, here's what they accomplished with their life. And that would be the style of the book of Mark when we read it. The interest moves in the second phase, where the writing becomes about what a person said. So the first is what a person did. This phase is about what a person said. The focus is more on the person's speech. If they had writings, it would be focused on their writings. And people would go and collect the speeches and collect the writings to discover throughout someone's lifetime what a person was all about and how they spoke. This is the style of Luke and Matthew. We see a lot of how Luke and Matthew recited the teachings of Jesus and the parables of Jesus. And then the very last stage of writing is said that they would write, the writer, to go behind the intent and read the mind and understand the heart of the person. And this third stage is focused on what a person was. And we see this style characterized in the writings of John. Now, why is any of this important? How is it relevant as we read the book of Mark today? Well, it's important that we understand that the four Gospels, all four of them, actually give us a complete portrait of the person of Jesus, who he was, what he did, what he said, and we can never get a full scope picture by just reading one book, and so it's important as good listeners at the Grace Space, as you listen, that you're also a good student in your own life, and we believe that God doesn't call us just to come listen to sermons, but he calls us to be a student of his word, and so we hope to equip you to be that and to do that in your own journey in reading the word. Well, we're going to start reading today, Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Let's read it together. Here's what it says. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." Well, as we get ready to pray for the word, I just want to remind you that you are in a church where we believe that God speaks. How many of you believe God still speaks to us today? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And I want to just remind you, if you're new around here, there are ways that God speaks to us, and it can kind of come across like this when the message is happening. There could just be a small prompt in your heart where you feel like the Lord's saying, "Hey, I'm talking to you." And those are moments that we want to pay attention to. It might be something as you're filling out your notes where you want to circle something or you want to write some additional things where the Holy Spirit is getting our attention and he's drawing us in because he wants to say something specific to us personally. At the end of the message, I'm going to ask you to maybe recall some of those moments where God was talking to you so that we just are really focused and we lean in to what he's saying to us at a personal level. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you as we open your word today that your Holy Spirit is present, and that you are making our hearts aware of what you want to say to us corporately, but also individually. And we pray that you would help us to be sensitive to that. We thank you that you're faithful to speak when we open and we're listening. And we just love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, today the title of our message is The Voice. Somebody say The Voice. Not The Voice, not that, but The Voice, not the TV show. That wasn't in my notes. My wife probably would have said, don't put that in there. You know what I mean? Like if she knew I was going to do that. Well, there's a story of a burglar. He was robbing a house one day, Brother Mark. And man, he was trying to get all the loot, you know, looking for the Apple Watches left behind and the jewelry. And he wasn't looking for any of the Google devices, but the Apple phones and iPads and all that kind of stuff. And he was just like filling his bag with the loot. And he heard a voice say, Jesus is watching. Now, my voice is a little scratchy, so I can't do a parrot very well. But this man is like kind of going, what's going on? What's that weird sound? And he thought he was hearing things, and so he just kept looking around for some more loot to fill up his little robbery bag. You know, they carry that big old bag, at least in, you know, in cartoons they do. And he heard the voice again, Jesus is watching. And so he kind of freaks out. He pulls his flashlight out, and he's kind of aiming in the area where he hears the voice. And there he sees a parrot. And he thinks to himself, a parrot? So he looks at the parrot and he asks the parrot, what kind of person names their parrot? Or what's your name? Excuse me. He asked the parrot, what's your name? And the parrot said, my name is Moses. And the guy's like, Moses? What kind of person names their parrot Moses? And the parrot says, the same kind of person who names their Rottweiler Jesus. And so, you know, he probably zipped out of the house right away. I would have. If I was robbing a house, if I was a thief, I've never done that before, but, you know, if I was, maybe backslide or something, I don't know. We're talking about the voice today, and here's what I notice as we open up the book of Mark is that the Holy Spirit inspired Mark to write this book in such a way because God wanted to make his voice clear to humanity. He wanted to make sure that no one in all of human history would miss what God has to say for us. And we're going to continue to see how Mark unpacks these opening verses as he builds this case for his readers that are going to read this narrative that he wrote. And last week we noticed that he said, hey, don't read this because I wrote it. He says, read this because it's the good news according to Jesus. Jesus, who happens to be the Messiah, who happens to be the Son of God. And so he continues to build this case for a voice that is speaking out to humanity. And I want to just notice a couple things as we go through this passage. And here's the observation that I would like to make. I would like us to notice in your notes the preparation. As we read these first few verses, we see how God has prepared humanity to hear his voice when he speaks. We see this in verse 2 through 4. God has been preparing people for this good news that Jesus is going to bring. And I can almost imagine Mark saying, this good news is not coming out in left field. In fact, it's coming from a source that you should be familiar with. Well, how is he preparing for this good news? In your notes, God prepared them through the prophets. Now, in our text, we see that Mark lets them know that the prophet Isaiah had told them some things about a man coming from the wilderness. And before we move on too far, what's a prophet? In the Old Testament, a prophet was somebody who spoke on behalf of God to the people. It was the primary way that God communicated to humanity was through a prophet, a man of God. Now, today, it's not the same way. Jesus came. He made himself known to all of humanity. God speaks directly to us. In fact, Hebrews says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace because we have Jesus now. You know, we're no longer dependent today on prophets like they were in the Old Testament. We believe in prophetic ministry today, although it actually looks quite a bit different. It's not so much about future telling and fortune telling. It's more about actually encouragement and affirming what God has already said in his word. And I just want to caution you that if somebody comes to give you a prophetic word, make sure that it lines up with the word. No prophetic message ever trumps the word of God. It doesn't come before it. It actually submits to it. And so it's so important that you know that. And so if somebody comes to give you a word, make sure to check it with the word of God. And if it lines up with scripture, then receive it. If it does not, just move on with your life as if it never happened. But Mark quotes a prophet here, Isaiah 40, to remind them of how God had been preparing the people for this very moment. In fact, preparing them for the letter. In fact, preparing you and I to hear the good news. Let's just kind of compare side by side Mark 1 with Isaiah 40. I want you to just kind of notice, we already read it earlier, that Mark tells them, hey, a messenger's coming, right? And this messenger is going to come crying out with a word from the wilderness. And we look over in Isaiah and it says, a voice is crying. And where is this voice coming from? It's coming from the wilderness. Why is he coming? He's coming to prepare the people for something. And what is he coming to prepare them for? To prepare them a highway, Isaiah says, for our God. And Mark says to prepare a path, a path. I want us to also notice that although he was quoting Isaiah, Isaiah was actually not the only prophet that told them that a messenger from the wilderness is coming. He's actually also is relating a message from Malachi. If we go to Malachi 3:10, we see the very same type of thing. Malachi says, behold, I send my messenger. This is God speaking through Malachi to the people. And this messenger is going to come what? What's he going to do? He's going to prepare the way for me, God says. So we also see in Exodus, I won't make us turn there, where Moses says the same very thing. What's Mark doing here as he brings this message and reminds them about the voice of the prophet? Mark is reminding his readers, God has preparing you for this moment so that when his voice comes, so that when he speaks to you, you will hear. See, God loves you and I way too much to just kind of speak in a fashion that surprises us, that catches us off guard. He has been preparing us to hear his voice for a long time. In fact, I would say that since the day you were born, God's been pursuing you to make sure that you hear his voice. And I think it's important also for us to understand that this is not the first time this audience who's reading this letter from Mark has ever heard about a voice coming from the wilderness. They've been hearing from generations, from their parents and grandparents who've been telling them, hey guys, one day God's told us long ago that someone is going to come from a wilderness with a message for us, a message on behalf of God. Now, a little Bible study tip for you. It's important for us to know, why are we kind of going back to the Old Testament? Because we're reading the New Testament. Because Mark didn't write this little narrative to be read independent or separate from the rest of scriptures. It's actually meant to be read together. And there's something that's kind of popular and new today where people like to toss out the Old Testament and just keep the New Testament. And in fact, if you're a believer in the room and you're familiar with Old Covenant and New Covenant, we're New Covenant believers. And most of the New Covenant is told in the New Testament. But it's not ever meant to be, the story is not meant to be told independent of the Old Testament. In fact, we would never be able to understand this voice crying out in the wilderness unless we understood what was said through the prophets like Malachi and through Isaiah and Moses. It's meant to be a message together. It's the beginning of the God story and the end of the God story, and we need it all together. And Mark is saying, because you know the beginning of the God story, you should be familiar with what is happening right now in the present as one is coming from the wilderness. So we see that God is preparing his people for Jesus, who is the Son of God, and he's preparing them through the voice of the prophets. And next thing in your notes, we also see that God's preparing them through John. John the Baptist here is this messenger that comes from the wilderness, and he's coming with a message. And how many know that if you were living in that time and you read Malachi and you were familiar with Isaiah and you knew what Moses said in Exodus, and it said to wait for the one coming from the wilderness, what would you be doing? You would probably be waiting for the voice from the wilderness, right? And when that voice came, you probably would pay extra special attention. You would probably lean in to what this voice has to say. So here comes Mark with this message. Mark 1, verse 4. Here's what scripture says. It says, now, John appeared, baptizing where? In the wilderness. And he came with a message. And what was his message? He came proclaiming a baptism of repentance. He was saying, repent, change your mind about what you believe regarding sin. Change your mind what you believe about God for the forgiveness of their sins. He wanted them to have forgiveness. He wanted them to experience repentance. So do you see just in these first few opening verses of the book of Mark, how Mark has built a strong case, a tight case, so that people would know that what he has to say is true. And in fact, I can almost imagine him saying, hey, if you don't believe me, then just trust Jesus. Trust his good news, because that's the news I'm writing about. Trust your prophets that you have been reading about for generations. Trust Isaiah and trust this John the Baptist who's coming from the wilderness with this special news to prepare the way of the Lord. Well, how does any of this apply to us today? Well, I think it applies to us in this way. If we ask ourselves this question, how has God been preparing me to be introduced to Jesus? If you just think about that for a moment, think about all of human history. Think about these prophets a few thousand years ago that began to say, get ready, someone's coming from the wilderness with a message, and I want you to pay attention to him when he comes. And thousands of years later, those writings are available to us today in Scripture. And that Scripture has come to you and I. And your mom knows about this passage, or your grandparents, or a friend, or a coach, or a teacher. And they paid attention to the message of Jesus, and they came to you. And they invited you to come here today, perhaps. And you're here because God sent a messenger to you. That's not a coincidence. That's the voice of God knocking on your door, wanting to bring you the good news. You saw something on social media. We're running a bunch of ads right now, and we're just having a ton of people showing up because they're seeing those ads. That's not random. That's God's knocking on your door saying, hey, when my voice comes, I don't want you to miss it, and I want you to hear what I have to say to you. The second question that I think is important to ask ourselves when it comes to applying this passage is this. Have I responded to his voice? When he knocked, when he spoke to me, when he whispered to my heart, did I respond to him? And you might be a non-believer in the room today, and a proper response would be to repent and believe in him. Or maybe you're a believer in the house today, and the question for you is, do you still respond to him today the same way you did when you believed for the first time? Do you pursue him in a way to hear his voice on how you should love your spouse? Do you lean in and listen to his voice and ask him, how should I care for my kids? And how should I navigate my finances? Am I responding to his voice in my daily life? Am I hearing his voice in my daily life? We're talking about the voice today. So far, we've noticed the preparation. We can see how God has spoke throughout the generations to prepare his people to hear his voice when he came to speak. And he spoke through different voices like the prophets and John the Baptist and Jesus and your very friends and family and neighbors and coaches and whomever introduced you to Jesus. The next thing I notice in this passage about the voice is this. I notice the credibility. The credibility. Credibility means trustworthy. It means to be reliable. And in fact, we can see the credibility of God. He said he was going to send a messenger, and he sent a messenger. He was faithful. He's credible to his word. Mark said that it was going to happen this way. He wrote the narrative, and it happened that way. There were eyewitnesses there around this time that were able to credibly say, yes, what Mark wrote about, it's true because I saw it with my own very eyes. How did the people respond to this credible source? See, when someone's credible, people trust what they have to say. And we could see their response in verse 5. We see, Mark says, here's how they responded, that all the country of Judea and Jerusalem, they were going out to him. Who's him? John the Baptist. Because they knew a voice was going to come from the wilderness. And they heard the voice came. So what did they do? They were smart. They came down to the voice in the wilderness, and they listened to what he had to say. And they were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. They were preparing their hearts for the arrival of Jesus. You know, it's hard to find credible news today. Credible news is very difficult to find. And I believe Scripture would be challenging us today and asking us some questions about our own credibility. And here's what I think Scripture may be asking us today, and it's this, it's on the screen. Do we reflect the credible nature of God as his people? Can we be credible? Can people count on us? Am I a credible source? Here's a couple traits I want to mention today about a credible person. This is one of the ways that you can know if you're credible. And I don't mention these things to make you feel bad. Oftentimes, I love Romans. It says, the kindness of the Lord leads us to repentance. And so if you hear something today and it's like opposite to who you are, and it feels uncomfortable for you, that's the kindness of the Lord leading you to repentance. Repentance means mind change. He's trying to convince you to go, hey, I need to be credible in this space in my life. I need to be credible. So here's three traits of a credible person. The first one is this in your notes: a credible person tells the truth. I love what Psalms 15:2 says. It says, "The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from the heart." And here's a good question to ask yourself to assess if you speak the truth. And it's this: is what I'm saying accurate? That's just, isn't that pretty simple? Is what I'm saying accurate? As simple as that is, it could be very challenging because our emotions get in the way. And then we start mind reading the motives of other people. And then so we actually add to the narrative because we say, they said this because they think this about me. Well, they said this, but we may not know what they think about us because we didn't ask them, but we add that to the story, and it made us feel a particular way. And now all of a sudden, we begin to twist the truth, and we begin to change the truth. We begin to add to the narrative. And it's important to ask ourselves, is what I'm saying accurate? God desires the people of God to be truthful people, speaking with accuracy, making sure that we're not missing the mark. The next trait of a credible person is this in your notes. A credible person offers confidentiality. What's confidentiality? It's keeping a story private. If someone comes to you with information, you're credible because what someone shares with you is going to stay with you, right? It's not going to get outside of that tight little circle. I love Proverbs 11:13. It says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Here's a question that you can ask yourself to know whether you should share that information with somebody or not. And the question is this: is this my story to tell? That just simplifies everything, doesn't it? Is it my story to tell? See, sometimes we think, well, they said it in public. They put it on Facebook, so it's just freedom for me to talk about it. Well, is it your story to tell? Do you have direct permission from that person to share their story? I believe as people of God, we need to be trustworthy people. We need to be able to keep a confidence. The only time we shouldn't keep a confidence is when someone's being abused or neglected. Then we need to tell somebody that, not any random person, we need to tell the correct authorities. We need to speak out. We need to speak up. The last trait of a credible person that I want to mention in your notes is a credible person offers stability. Stability is not necessarily about being up or down. How many know just in life we're up and down? Emotionally, we can be up one day and another day we can be down. One day it could be a day that there's a lot of reason to have joy, and then there could be days where things are just really difficult. How many know we're human? That's what life is about. We see God rejoicing and we see God sad. We see God happy. We see God angry. Stability is not about never being up or down, but it's about knowing how to adjust when we are up or down. It's about being self-aware. You know, a pilot, when they're flying an airplane, they're aware of where they need to be. You know what I mean? If they just need to course correct a little bit, they course correct. And I believe as believers, we need to pay attention to where we need to be, right? I love what Proverbs 139:23 says. The writer says this, "Search me, O God." Awareness. You see that? Awareness. I'm not blind to where I am. I'm saying, God, search me and know my heart. Test my heart. Help me to know where I'm at. Help me to know if I'm accurate. Help me to know how I feel is right or if how I feel is off. And know my anxious thoughts. I invite you into every space of my life. The spaces that I'm embarrassed to share with other people, I want you to know those things. And if there's anything offensive in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. See, a stable person is a person who's self-aware, is a person who is inviting God into the spaces of their life so that they can remain the same and be stable for the people around them. And here's a good question to ask yourself when it comes to discerning whether you are a stable person. Here's the question. Do people get a consistent version of me? Do they get a consistent version of me? Now, I understand that that mental illness is a real thing, and so people don't get a consistent version of you. But I think that every one of us can desire to be self-aware, even somebody with mental illness, to invite the Holy Spirit in to help us in spaces. See, I want to make sure that when I come home after work that my wife always gets the same husband. She doesn't get the cranky husband some days and then the happy husband other days. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I want to make sure that as a boss and a manager here, that when the staff come around, that one day their boss isn't cranky and the next day he's happy bringing them donuts. I want to be a credible boss, a credible husband, a credible daddy, that no matter when people come to interact with me, every day I'm conscious. I'm asking God to search me and know me, show me my anxious points and level me out, Lord, so that I can be the minister that you called me to be for my family and the daddy that you called me to be for my daughter and the boss and leader that you've called me to be for the people in the office and the pastor that you've called me to be to shepherd these people. Help me to be stable. Today, I just want to just ask you two things as we kind of wrap the message up today. And the first is this. Are you in the room today and maybe you have never responded to the voice of God before? And I think it's so important to understand and just be aware that he has prepared you to hear his voice. And as we asked earlier in the message, how will you respond?